Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. And join us. Please get in the game. 715-424-2600. 424-2600. I know you've been saving those sports thoughts and feelings all week long just for the Friday show.
That's right.
And we want to remind everybody, we are here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes going to be leading you right into Rafter baseball like today. Got a 6:20 start time hosting the Green Bay Rockers. I want to send a big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out and sponsoring. In the hour, we appreciate Phil and the gang. Phil joins us every Wednesday in our morning show with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday. Looking forward to all of that. I have a couple places for us to go today. I would like to get into a little bit of the All-Star break and talking about the All-Stars. A couple Brewers in there, a couple of fun names. That'll be fun. I want to get into talk a little Rafters as well. Also wanted to get into something we were talking about the other day, these new Olympic sports. I want to get everybody ready for these. We've got five new Olympic sports involved.
Very cool.
I also wanted to talk about, before we get too far away from the Stanley Cup, these crazy things the Stanley Cup has been through.
Those are always fun to revisit, yeah.
It really is. I got a stat of the day that's a fun one, too. And we'll talk maybe some Brewers as well, everybody. But I'm calling an audible. Calling an audible to start the show.
Okay, that's good.
There was an article at NFL.com that got Seth and I talking. Cam Newton came out and said that he believes Lamar Jackson is the greatest dual threat in NFL history. I keep almost saying dual threat quarterback, but Cam said dual threat, period. Got Seth and I talking a little bit about this. I threw out the name Steve Young because I think we forget that Steve Young was considered a running quarterback back then.
He was, yeah.
And one of the greater minds to ever play QB. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other guys, too, I think we mentioned. And I want to hear from the audience on this one, too, because I think it's a fun topic. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Not really.
I mean, I guess you could say some certain quarterbacks might have been the wrong answer. but I honestly think you can make an argument for a lot of guys. There's also running backs like Roger Craig, Marshall Faulk, LaDainian Tomlinson.
Meaning they could rush, but they could also catch passes too. That's what that means. So yeah.
Now there's a lot of meat on the bone there, but I'm going to start somewhere completely different because Seth said something right before we went to a minute before we went on the air here about Randall Cunningham. And if you've heard me on the air, that is my favorite quarterback of all time. Mm-hmm. I loved watching Randall play. I just enjoyed his style, his approach to the game, along with, at the time, again, not a lot of running quarterbacks. And Randall was quite the running quarterback. And Seth said, man, could you imagine Randall in today's day and age? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to say this because we only had a couple seconds before we went on,
right.
But I've actually had this in a dream.
Oh, really?
This was ages ago.
Oh, wow.
This was a long time ago. It might have even been around the time Lamar Jackson was in college.
Oh.
That's how long ago it was.
Okay.
But I did have this thought and this dream because I think a lot of us could see the NFL going this way, where the quarterback isn't just the conductor out there anymore. He's also the train. Like, he has to run things.
Yep.
And you need quarterbacks. Everybody on the field is getting smarter, bigger, and faster.
Right.
So it only makes sense that the idea of your quarterback just being able to drop back, wait 2 seconds, and chuck it, that's gone. There is no such thing anymore as a non-mobile quarterback.
Right.
Even your traditional pocket quarterbacks like a Joe Burrow or somebody can book. They can move.
Yep.
Especially,
they just don't like to do that. They're always looking to pass first instead of run. Right.
You're not going to see many quarterbacks drafted or make it into the NFL with a 5.540. You know, gone. That's gone. But I have this and I'm thinking about it, and it's something that me and my friends have talked about different guys and these. And for some reason, this pops up in my dream. And again, Randall Cunningham, my favorite quarterback of all time, and it's my dream. And Randall got hurt in like week 6.
No. that's funny.
I could dream. I could dream that he was a quarterback for the Bears. And no, I dreamed that he was back at the Eagles, and that he got hurt in week 6. Not right, man.
That was kind of what I was referring to. You know, before we started, it's like, you know, wow. He would be great. I think in today's game, he would be utilized better than he was. But then I think, what happens when he takes the first hits? And I'm like, Lamar Jackson is not a small man.
No.
He's big. He's, you know, beefy, bulky. He's muscular. He's strong. Just like, you know, Jalen Hurts, same thing. You know, those guys, those are not small guys. So they can take hits easier, you know. I mean, still, it's still not good. But, you know, they can take them easier than some other guys. So
You look at guys that are the build of a quarterback in the NFL today. Mm-hmm. And I think that you look at a lot of these guys and you look at somebody like Tua and you worry because of the injuries in college. And then certainly we see how it went in year one. In the offseason, he's taking Kung Fu, Taekwondo, these things to help him learn how to fall better, and he puts on a bunch of weight, but his mobility isn't there anymore. Mm. So while he's healthy all year long, mm-hmm. which is impressive, I think, on its own right.
Right.
But he's not the mobile guy he is. So this offseason, he's been built, like getting his structure better, and maybe a little bit of weight, but not as much in some of these. This is just an example of what these guys go through in trying to figure out, well, what's the right body type to do this job now? Oh. Because we're not sure. Mm-hmm. We don't know for at least like over like 80% of football's life, we knew what a quarterback looked like and what they were supposed to be.
Right.
And that is completely out the window now.
Now it is very so different. So different, yeah.
It also, I can't help it, it does lead me into the Jordan Love conversation a little bit. Mm. Because I genuinely felt, I'll let the audience in on this. I thought on Monday when we touched on the Jordan Love contract, that would be it. That by Friday, because I knew we didn't have a show Wednesday, by mm-hmm. Friday, this contract would have been in place. I don't listen to a lot of talking heads out there, especially in sports. There's a couple that I do listen to, but especially this summer, I've been hearing a little bit more of Wisconsin talk radio and Wisconsin mm-hmm. sports talk radio in particular, and the big voices that everybody knows out there and everything. And I don't hear anything intelligent from any of these people. I don't hear anything insightful. I don't hear anything, and I'm not blaming them for that.
Right.
I got nothing for you either, man. I'm not saying this like I'm coming at this from some amazing angle that nobody's thought
profound
of.
Insight, right?
Yeah, I know Jordan Love's cousin or something. I got nothing else for you either with this, but that's my point, is that this is where we've gotten in this conversation where everybody is like, what the what? How has this not happened yet?
Yeah.
I will come back to this because I don't think we've heard this part of this enough, is this organization, you'd trust with your kid. Like, mm-hmm. if the Packers drafted your kid, you'd feel confident with that.
Right.
Okay, well, this is a well-run organization. I think my child is going to be okay working for this organization, that kind of thing. If you feel that way about them, do they know something, or are they playing this the right way? And I'm just not, me and many of us, many, many, many of us, are just not seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I'm hearing from some of the smarter minds out there is that, well, it's going to be 50, 52, 53, something like that, 200-some million games. Guaranteed, blah, blah, blah. Is he worth it? Isn't he worth it? The same questions that come up with almost every quarterback. Just the details are a little bit different.
Right.
Your Tua conversation, your Dak conversation are going to be very similar. Just again, the details are a little bit different. But with the fact that there's so little difference between some of this money, and I'm talking about millions of dollars here, like I've ever even been close to that in my
life. I was
going to
say, for us, it's quite a bit of money, but in the scheme of things, for them, it's not, really.
The difference of $51 to $52 million or $53 million a year or something like that is, you know, it means something to these players to the degree of, I want to make more than Dak.
Right.
Or I want to make more than so-and-so
that's
or something like
part
that.
Part of it, yeah.
So when you've got all of those things going in, it screams, why hasn't this been done?
Yeah.
So all I could do is scream back into the abyss. They must know what they're doing. I feel like if there's an organization in football that has earned the benefit of the doubt, they've got to be one of the top five.
Mm. Yeah.
They've made good calls in for the most part with that franchise.
Yep.
You can make plenty of conversations. I know 99% of our audience is Packer fans, and I'm sure you can call in and tell me how they have mucked things up from time to time.
Right.
But compared to so many other organizations, I think that you feel pretty good betting on them.
Yep.
And right now, they're betting on them. They're betting on the Packers right now. And the fact that they're dragging their feet on this, the fact that they haven't made a call yet, I am curious to know what the true reasoning is, especially if we could just be a fly on the wall and understand what's going on in that organization when it comes to this and why it hasn't been made yet. I do know that there is the concern of paying the quarterback and it taking up so much of the salary cap. And if you pay attention to football, you know all of this conversation already.
Yeah, the Denver Broncos. Great example about what can happen, yeah.
And a perfect example as well as this money is Monopoly money.
Mm-hmm.
This is Monopoly money. It almost doesn't even matter in some ways. Because for one, if you're worried about this blowing up in your face, look at what Denver just did.
Mm-hmm.
And what they just, the guaranteed money they gave Russell Wilson to leave.
To leave.
To go.
They didn't even get anything in return. They didn't even get hardly a low ranking draft pick. I mean, come on.
What looks more foolish? You give Jordan Love the contract and he doesn't live up to it, or you let Jordan Love walk and he does something great in another uniform.
Mm.
And you did all of these things. You draft him 3 years early. You've got him sitting there. He's learning from a great, all this, blah, 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 and he's gone in a year or two.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't...
What was the point? Yeah.
Nobody thinks that makes sense. And
no.
I don't believe for a second that's going to happen. So just sign the guy.
Right.
And sign him while you can sign him a little bit cheaper than before Dak or Tua or some of these guys get their contracts.
I don't... It's almost like they think they're seeing something that we're not about his performance, or there's something in his medical history or something that's keeping them from you know, just going ahead and signing him. So
two big questions. One, if you don't believe that Jordan Love is worth this money, and let's be honest, nobody is. Nobody is worth any of the money
fair,
that any of these athletes
No,
make.
It's ridiculous, right?
It is also ridiculous what these owners pull in, too.
100%.
So, it all evens out.
It's all together. We know what we're talking about here, yeah.
But if you're not going to give him the contract, if you don't think he's worth it, I mean, then what was the point of any of this? What was the point? And who you got? Okay, who are you going to bring in? Who are you bringing in to take over this spot? And what happens when they get good? And you got to pay them. You're just going to keep up this cycle of we're always going to pay quarterbacks. Here's some potatoes. Here's some potatoes. Go ahead and make something out of that. It doesn't make any sense. Every NFL team has to deal with this. And while not every NFL team is the smallest market team in sports, they are all dealing with the same salary cap. They're all dealing with the same problems. Pay them, move on from it, and figure out how to get good players with that contract on your books, because that's what good GMs do.
Yep.
That's your job.
Yeah.
Do your job. Because none of this, there's no positive to not signing him. There's no, please call up 424-2600 and tell me the positive of not signing him. Because I cannot think of one of them, and I've thought about this and looked into this, and everything I hear that is a counter to that doesn't add up to me. Doesn't make sense. I don't know where you go from here other than paying him and moving on so the subject is gone.
Right. And it's you don't know everything about it yet, or him, you know. You've had a very small sample size to work with. And part of the season last year, he was actually pretty bad. And then he was good. And I don't know if that has something to do with it, too. If they're like, where they're not convinced that he can pull together a whole season, which I guess is understandable. But the main thing for me is always, where's the replacement? Okay, where is the, what is it you're waiting for? We just saw the Bears.
Yeah.
Get rid of a player who had been, you know, he hadn't reached his full potential yet, but he was getting better and he looked pretty good last year and all this stuff. And they said, that's nice. We can't, you know, pass up on this other guy.
Yeah.
We have to do it this way. And they got rid of him for basically a song. Again, one of those things where they didn't really get anything back for it. And they went for, because you have to.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
And there's almost no way Caleb Williams can live up to that right now in season one. He can eventually.
Yeah.
But down the line, all you're going to have is NFL quote-unquote experts and fans of not only the Bears but of the NFL pointing at every time he throws a pick. And every time Justin Fields does something well.
Yeah.
Now, that's what you're walking into if you don't re-sign Jordan Love, if you don't lock him up and all of those things. Now, they've also got franchise tags and everything. I don't believe that Jordan Love will ever probably, until his 10th, 12th year or whatever, is ever going to play for another team. Then we all know he'll be traded to the Jets. That's just, you know, how this works.
That's how it works.
But I don't.
This cycle, this horrible cycle that they keep on.
There is no positive to not signing him and not getting this taken care of and done. Not only do you not have somebody else, but do you want to look like the Bears? Do you want to look like that?
Yeah.
Do you want to look like a team that does, like, the even the 49ers, who have almost all the respect the NFL has to give, more than Dallas? More, you can make the argument there is no team respected more in football than the 49ers. The Kansas City Chiefs are very close.
Yeah.
But that's relative memory. That's recent memory and stuff. Overall, in our lifetimes, the 49ers are NFL royalty.
They're the elite team, yeah.
And they just got rid of Trey Lance for a song after trading up in the draft for him and everything because they got lucky with a kid at the end of the draft. The literal end of the draft. For one, we don't know what we're doing with quarterbacks. We have no idea. And anybody that tells you different is lying to you or has a bridge to sell in San Francisco. Because,
I heard it kind of a gag. But someone was saying kind of flippantly that Mike Shanahan hates all of his draft picks.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who he drafts. So he hates them
so
all.
True. So true. I want to talk a little MLB All-Star game with you, Seth. I know that's
Shanahan. I'm sorry, I said Mike. Kyle.
By the way, I saw him in a picture, Kyle.
Okay.
And he shaved the beard. He just has the mustache. He had the hair slicked back. Thought he was going to sell me a car. he looked good. He looked good.
Now this car here has gotten
you. He's definitely, that's got a great side gig right there if he needs it.
He can sell used cars. I love it.
The MLB All-Star game is Tuesday, July 16th over in Texas. Seattle. T-Mobile Park in Seattle, I believe.
It is? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was in Texas this year.
Is
Globe
it?
Life Park?
No,
where
you're
is
right.
It?
You're right.
Okay.
It is. I'm looking at the wrong thing here.
Oh, okay.
I got excited because I wanted to. I like the All-Star game. I like the MLB All-Star game. I think it's a fun one. I want to talk a little bit.
It's the best of all the sports. I mean, really.
Easily
the best.
I think it is.
Because they at least try, you know?
Yeah. And there is something at stake. With home field advantage in the World Series, and
they don't do that anymore.
That's right.
They just do best record now.
Did you like that?
Not really.
No,
I thought it was dopey. I know why they did it. I was at the game I was at the 2002 All-Star game in Milwaukee, and I can't tell you how. Everyone was so upset. And I don't know why. They were just so upset about it. It's like, dude, it's an exhibition game. It's the All-Star game. Who cares? But it was just cool to be there to see it. But then they brought in the no, it counts thing. To me, it's an exhibition game. That's all it is. It shouldn't have that kind of meaning to it. They finally figured it out. That's like, no, whoever has the best record is the one who should get the home field advantage, which is what they do in every other sport. So that's the way you should do it.
I also think you can't force emotions out of people no matter how hard you try. And for every Pete Rose in an All-Star appearance, you're going to have somebody I'm not picking on him. John Kruk, I think, worked hard and tried hard. You don't make it with that body in the MLB, not being a hustler, not working your tail off
talented
and everything.
Too, yeah.
Very talented. Great eye.
He was
a great hitter.
Yeah.
Great hitter. But he also approached the game with a little bit of childlike fun and everything.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't take it too seriously. Yeah.
Neither of those guys were going to play any differently, no matter what was at stake.
Right.
So I think that's a fair point on it. And I think that there's already kind of stuff on the line when it comes to the All-Star game for these individual players, oftentimes, whether it is wanting to show a good performance or show up somebody, or even just strategy-wise, hey, our team's pretty good. We could end up in the World Series. I might be facing this guy in the World Series. It's playing for the other division, league.
There's something to that, too.
I think so.
I got to tell you one thing, though, man. If you end up being the MVP of the All-Star game, that's with you forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, look at the catcher for the Rockies. He was the one last year, and they still talk about it. For the rest of his career, it'll be, All-Star Game MVP Diaz, Eliar Diaz cool. there for whatever his first name is. But, that's one of the nice things about it.
When we take a look at the American League, Adley Rutschman is going to be starting at catcher, his first starter election for the Baltimore Orioles, having a great season.
He is. He's the best catcher in baseball, I would say, right now.
It's certainly overall, and especially with some other catchers either getting hurt or not having the seasons that they used to. I think he stands out right now.
Absolutely.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. definitely stands out. He's just a big guy. Third starter election already for him, and already a nice career already going on for that
kid. He's been hitting the cover off the ball this summer so far. He's like in the top five of hard hit rate, which is amazing.
He's having a stellar year, and that's saying something already for him.
Yeah.
Second base, Jose Altuve, his sixth starter selection there for Houston. Not surprising him getting the run in the nod.
Hall of Fame?
I've been wondering about that. And so here's something that's kind of funny to me. Since MLB didn't really punish these guys, will the Hall of Fame voters punish them?
Yes, they will. I can almost guarantee they will. If Correa ends up with a career that's that's worthy of the Hall, if Altuve, and Altuve's probably...
He's got to be the closest.
He's got to be the closest of all the position players from that. Yeah, I think it is going to cost him.
I think your Verlanders, your guys like that, that didn't spend their whole careers there
Verlander
they're not
going to
be
a problem.
Affected. They won't be affected. No. I can't wait I don't want Justin Verlander's career to end, period. But I do look forward to his Hall of Fame speech.
That'll be the big interesting. Is he going as Detroit or Houston? Yeah, that is an interesting
question. Oh, I can't wait to see that.
But anyway, yes.
Gunnar Henderson sitting there at shortstop. His first starter selection. Get used to that name.
Yes. He is having a fabulous year. We are in... James and I think we've talked about this off the air. We are coming into another golden age of shortstops. Mm-hmm. Look at the shortstops we have right now. I mean, the young guys, Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr., they're kind of the top right there. Francisco Lindor still having a great career. Correa having a big bounce back year this year. We've got another young guys out in Anaheim, that Neto guy. Mm-hmm. He's going to be really good. De La Cruz and Cruz.
Both of them are got magnificent arms.
Yep.
That's the other thing. All these guys got killer cannons for arms and everything at shortstop. And is a strong point by you, man. One other thing, I'm going to piggyback on that. Look at the guys that have had to move. Because they're short. Fernando Tatis Jr. or somebody like that, who was a great shortstop.
Yep.
But we got to move you because we got too many good shortstops.
And he turned into a great right fielder, which is fabulous.
Yeah. A Mookie Betts who moves into that spot and did well at that spot.
He's holding his own. He's not going to be a spectacular defensive guy, but he's still doing all right.
I think they're going to move him to second when he comes back. I think they're going to probably put him there.
And when they get rid of him, depending on what they do with Gavin Lux, he's probably going to end up back at second plate.
For every young player that is exciting and everything, there are these ones that just you shake your head at and like, man, he didn't work out yet.
What happened?
Torkelson kid in Detroit.
Torkelson.
There's a couple of them like that. Jose Ramirez at third base in your AL. Third selection for him.
He should start every year.
Yeah.
He's so consistent. Oh, my gosh. He's so good.
Yonder Alvarez getting his first starter selection for the Astros at DH.
One of the best hitters in baseball. Yeah.
Aaron Judd in the outfield. Mm-hmm. He is going to be joined by Juan Soto, his Yankee teammate. Soto's first starter selection.
Boy.
He's only 25.
He's only 25.
I can't get over that, man.
I'm not a Yankees fan at all, ever. I was so happy this week that the Reds swept him in the Bronx. I was like,
it's pretty cool.
But, man, Aaron Judge is something else.
Yeah.
He's like on another planet right now. He's just an amazing player.
There's certain guys, it doesn't matter what jersey they're wearing. No. It's just fun to watch.
You got to appreciate it.
Yeah,
you got to appreciate
really
what he's doing.
I mentioned many times Mookie Betts is my favorite baseball player. He has been for a long time. When Mookie retires, I think Stephen Kwan might be my next guy. I like him. I'm a fan.
He is, he came up, he's a on-base machine, got a great batting eye. He's got great bat control. Now this year he's starting to show some power.
Yeah.
Which was very surprising. He's one of the best outfielders, Gold Glove winning outfielder. I mean, he's something good. He's fun to watch.
It's a fun one out there.
Yeah.
I love these guys that are such, like, when the ball's in the air, there's nobody more hungry or determined in the world than this player.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're just playing, they're just having fun. They're a kid playing a game on this level, It's kind of cool to watch. I like him. I'm a big fan of his.
Yes.
In the National League, you've got William Contreras, your Milwaukee Brewers starting catcher, with his first starter selection. That is so darn cool to see. The Contreras family has now combined to earn the NL starting catcher job four times since 2018, with the only exception being Sean Murphy last year and Buster Posey in 21.
Wow.
That's kind of cool to
see.
Man,
and William right now is the better Contreras brother.
Yeah.
But Wilson was hurt too. But he's the best catcher in the National League, and he's got to be number two after Rutschman all of baseball. So
Bryce Harper getting his seventh starter selection, but his first at first base.
Which is very cool. Mm-hmm. And again, he's having, man, if it weren't for Judge, if it weren't for Shohei Ohtani, we'd be talking about Bryce Harper because he's having another great year.
While he is nursing a hamstring, he has gone on record as saying he will play in the game. He is going to be playing.
That's great. Glad to hear it.
Another one of these guys where it means something. It really does. Like they could all be divas that maybe and stuff, but they show what they're really made of when they're playing hurt or they're playing in an all-star game for fans and everything.
And then he does that thing with that kid. Ask her out his prom date.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you heard about that story.
Yeah, that's
just, that was a fabulous story. Oh my.
Awesome
he just
story.
Goes up to his house and knocks on the door. Yeah. And he's there. It's like, hey, what's going on? Wow.
That is an awesome story.
Yes.
Ketel Marte for the Arizona is getting his second starter selection at second base.
Possibly one of the most underrated players in the league.
Yeah.
He's had several good years in a row, and he's very good.
Now, Trey Turner starting at shortstop, but Mookie Betts came in real close to this one, even when being on the IL, and like Turner.
Both of them, though, have missed too much. I mean, Mookie would have been the starter if he hadn't gotten hurt. For 100%. Trey Turner, though, has missed most of the first half.
Yeah.
That one I was a little about. There's other deserving players, shortstops out there.
That's just it. If there were nobody doing any good at that position, I'd be okay with it. But there's a couple of guys.
C.J. Abrams.
Yeah, there's a great
another
one right
great – how many – man, there's so many fabulous shortstops
there so
out there.
C.J.
Lindor, like I said, he's having a good year. I mean, yeah.
There's a lot of good ones out there that could either be – and a second and shortstop, I think you could say that with those positions.
Yep.
It's a little bit tougher at third where Alex Baum is going to be getting his first starter selection. As a side note, Baum is the second to throw his hat in the ring for the Derby.
All right. Cool.
So you got those two. You got two names so far for the Home Run Derby, Gunnar Henderson and Alex Baum, both going to be in that.
That's excellent.
Already some new names and some young – some great bats going in there. And
Baum's having a career year so far this year, so it's good to see. I hope he does a good second half.
And he got it over Manny Machado, which I always like. I'm just not a Machado guy.
Not liking the Manny.
Designated hitter Shohei Ohtani,
of course.
Kyle Schwarber getting up there though. Kyle Schwarber had some votes.
Man, do you see Schwarber on the outfield the other day? Oh, that was
God,
sad.
It's rough.
That's a horrible thing. Why put that guy out there, man?
Don't do that to him. Just don't. Just don't. Like, I mean, I'd put a dog out there before him. And I'm a huge Kyle Schwarber fan.
I know, big fan
of his.
Yeah.
But I would put a dog with a mitt, like, taped to him. Just on his back. It's just hope. And just hope. Hey, dogs like to catch. Dogs like to play catch. Maybe you catch one. Does it count if he catches it with his mouth and not the back? And not the glove. I think this is a debate that we need to have.
Ooh, that would be cool, though.
Nobody's having that debate.
Caught it in his mouth. It's a good thing Shohei Ohtani doesn't play a position.
Mm.
Or, like, can you imagine if he played multiple positions?
Oh, yeah.
That would be that. I mean, that would just not be fair.
No.
It's not fair enough as it is, but man.
Jackson Profar for the San Diego going to be starting in the outfield, along with Fernando Tatis Jr. and your Christian Yelich.
I am very excited about Profar.
Yeah.
Again, he's been around for so long. He was supposed to be the next big thing in Texas and never panned out, but look at him now.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. He's in his early 30s to see him to do that, yeah.
Journalistically, I'll mention once again that my family is a big, big, big fan, not only Brewer fans on my brother and such, but my family loves Christian Yelich.
As they should.
He threw my nephew a baseball, and the man doesn't know it, but he became a Maloff that day.
That's right. That's awesome.
And so we're big fans of his, but I think that I'm more of a fan of his than ever after the things that he has overcome. Now, again, keeping in mind when I say that, I'm saying that in the sports context.
Yes.
There are plenty of things that everyday human beings overcome that are by far and away, I'm sure Christian Yelich would say, are by far and away more impressive. But this is his second starter selection. I believe it's his his second straight year doing this, but he's been an all-star. It's third career all-star.
Okay.
Former MVP, and we all know about the ups and downs that he has had after signing the contract. And you name me the times that you have heard Christian Yelich yelling at reporters or being a bad clubhouse guy or anything like that. Throughout all those struggles or anything, you never heard a bad thing about him. He never dodged reporters, always showed up to answer questions. When it was the bottom of the ninth and Christian struck out or up, gave a pop fly with the game on the line, he was still there answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
To see him have this MVP, like, not MVP run, but to go from being an MVP in 18 and have that downtime,
have the
and
struggles,
then come back,
injuries too. Yep,
that's one of the better stories in sports right now for
yep.
me. It really is. And I know that I'm close to it and everything. I admit all of that. But I love seeing this for him, and I'm happy for Brewer fans.
Right. It was interesting because he's back to where he was before. He had those MVP seasons. He was always a good player, good hitter. He just didn't hit a lot of home runs. And then all of a sudden, those 2 years. And by the way, 2019 doesn't count because the ball was totally juiced that year.
Yeah.
Do you see how many home runs that were hit in that 2019?
The
ball
crazy
was
year.
Juiced, okay?
Yeah. It's hard not to.
I don't care what MLB says. It was juiced.
Well, especially once they get called out for it and everything, and SportsCenter's doing reports with the ball in their hand and everything. All of a sudden, that changed. All of a sudden, completely changed. And, well, I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean?
Yeah,
don't look over here.
Just admit it. Just admit it.
I want to know how many people are going to watch the All-Star game. I'd love to hear from all of you, especially with the Brewer consideration, with them being a couple. I also think, who do you think should be in there that isn't? I will nominate Bryce Terang as somebody who I think should be.
Oh, he's had a fabulous year, yeah.
Especially with what we were just saying about second base and everything. Not being a lot of injuries.
I think he'll make the team. I think he will.
I got to think. You got at least three Brewers going to the All-Star game, I think. Because
so.
I do think he's going to be in there.
I don't think there's going to be any Brewer pitchers in there. Freddie's having a pretty good year, but it's kind of been up and down for him.
Yeah.
So, and he's basically their ace. So, yeah, but I think at least three Brewers will get in there.
I think that's a great question of what pitchers are going to be actually in the All-Star game. Because it's good luck. Oh, good luck figuring out who.
If I were running baseball, I would like lean into the young thing. For the National League, Paul Skeens is starting the All-Star game.
Yeah.
You want to get your young stars out there. Give him a huge showcase after what he has done so far since he's been called up. Man, it's like he's playing in a different league. I mean, it's amazing.
The showdown with him and Ohtani is one of my favorite moments of the sports year.
Oh, God, that was so good.
It couldn't have been written better.
Yes.
It was perfect. It was such a great, like, four at-bats. It was four.
I want to see him at-bats. And Aaron Judge.
Yeah, yeah.
In a at-bat. Mm. That would be awesome.
Pittsburgh got some nice young talent over there.
They do.
With Cruz and him and the Jones kid and everything.
Yep.
Got some nice talent over there. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and take some of your phone calls. We'll get also into these new Olympic sports. I want to talk a little Stanley Cup and the history of that, and plenty more with Seth and you on Playmakers here at WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Seth and James here with you. Big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, sponsoring the hour. We appreciate them. We're going to talk Olympics here, but we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. 715-424-2600.
Right.
Call up, join the conversation. Whatever you want to talk about, we will get into it. Well, as long as it's sports related.
Right, right.
I don't know a lot about sewing. If you want to get into sewing, I can't help you. But
that would be interesting for a sports show, too.
Yeah, very, very interesting.
Hey, where are my Canadian Football League fans, man? I want them to call in. Come on.
Seth has got an hour or two worth of Canadian football talk just waiting to unload on us.
Well, they're playing right now. Hey, if you like football, I mean, this is their season has already started. So,
and we certainly have seen some athletes go from there to here.
It's happened
before. It's happened.
Probably Warren Moon, probably the most famous. Doug Flutie did that.
You got the Quadri Ismail, I think it was, that did as well when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Rocket Ismail. Those were some days, man. Those kids. I want to look at a little bit at the Olympics as they are just around the corner.
Yeah,
coming up at the end of the month here, and the Summer Games are one of my favorite things. I enjoy the Olympics. I think a lot of people do. And even people who like don't get into them end up watching some of the Olympics or paying attention.
You gotta.
Especially with the sports calendar being what it is.
What's the medal count up to? You know,
right,
that one
exactly,
thing. That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. We all know that.
And while we don't know a lot of these athletes, by the end of August, we will know many of them and be cheering their names. But what sports we'll be doing that in are going to be a little bit interesting, too, because there are some several newish sports being
new-ish,
involved.
Newish, I like that.
skateboarding, sport climbing, surfing, and 3-on-3 basketball are all new Olympic events, along with breaking.
Breaking. What's breaking?
Breaking as in breakdancing is
what?
An Olympic sport. For the U.S., you are going to have Jeff Rowe and Logistics X qualifying and are being Olympic athletes this year.
Wow.
Now, I don't know if many people remember this or know this or not, but I've mentioned on the air before, the very first entertaining thing I ever did was breakdancing.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Jamal and I got paid $20 each. which was a lot in the early 80s.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I mean,
especially
come on.
As kids. Yeah. I think I was like 10, maybe 12, maybe 11 or something like that. We break danced for my Aunt Nay's Covered Bridges. They had a big Christmas party every year. And Covered Bridges, I don't expect anybody to know this, at the time, richy people, very rich area and stuff.
Very bougie. Yeah.
Yeah. So they thought it'd be fun to have some ethnic kids from the other side of the tracks come in and do some break dancing. So we did, and it was I don't know if they got their money's worth, but we did.
You certainly, you guys were like, all right, woo.
They clapped for us afterwards, and I have been chasing that clap, that applause my whole life.
Yep.
There was something about it, but I got a love for breakdancing. I have a love for dance in general. I think it's fun. I'm not saying I'm a great dancer, but I love to dance, and I think it's a lot of fun to do. And I do think that there is some athleticism in there.
100%.
It being an Olympic sport. I don't think I think it's pretty. I think it would be harder to make the case that it deserves to be in there than not.
Right.
I think we could almost all of us agree on that one. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this is an entertainment project. It always has been, always mm-hmm. will be. That's a big part of the Olympics. As much as a lot of us love the athletic part of it or the country part of it where we get to root for our country or others or whatever.
Right.
This is something that ratings matter and certainly advertising dollars matter to the sport.
Yes.
So bringing in new athletic things is just something the Olympics have done literally since the dawn of the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, though, there's a couple of things here where I feel like I'm looking at this a little clouded.
Okay.
On both sides of it. One, that I love breakdancing, but also, man, I might have been able to make the Olympics.
I was
going to
say, that's the first thing that popped into my brain. I was like, what? I mean, now? They're just, 40, 30 years too late for you, but,
Just missed it by a hair. Just missed it by a hair. I'm not a great, great dancer. With breakdancing, I could do it all.
Yeah,
I was built for it. I could have been a great one. I don't know. I could have at least got us a bronze, man. I could have at least gotten a bronze out of this. I'm a little frustrated about that part, I'll admit.
Yeah, that's cool, though.
I also think that it's... if you're trying to grow the Olympics, you're trying to get more eyeballs and everything, so you want to skew younger and stuff. Breakdancing? That was hip when we were kids. I don't know if it's been since.
Getting the 40-year-olds involved. That's what they want. It's like, who we haven't got? The demographic we're really looking for is 40 to 46.
Yeah,
it's like, what? Okay.
Oh,
and it'll be more out of curiosity. Breakdancing. Really?
I find that quite interesting. I really, really do. I'm not sure. Sure the thought process of that one.
How do they score that?
That
I want to know the scoring scheme for that. That's how does that work?
That's going to be
I'd be
fantastic.
Terrible at it. I know that.
I cannot wait to watch the insane, because the commentators are going to have to talk about something, and they got to talk about it seriously.
You need to have lingo for any kind of sport to work. You need to have that kind of insider language,
You know what the problem with that move right there? He wasn't popping and locking.
I was going to say.
If he had only popped it and locked it, he just popped it. He didn't lock it, though. That was the problem with that one.
Sick worm.
The problem with his worm was his legs weren't wiggly enough. You've got to get the legs wiggly.
See, that's why you need to change, because wiggly, no, you can't use that in
no,
sports.
No, you can't use
that. You got to find a euphemism for it. So,
there's got to be something. I'm looking forward to that. Also, one of our favorite things about the Olympics is certainly not only rooting for Americans, but getting a little bit deeper into that and looking a little mm-hmm. closer with the magnifying glass and seeing, who's representing our states? Who's
yeah.
representing for your local states
that's
and everything?
Cool. Yeah.
Right now, former volleyball legends Lauren Carlini and Adana Ratke will be sporting red, white, and blue, so switching from their crimson red of Badgers. They're your Badger volleyball players going
Very
over there.
Very cool.
You've also got, they're going to be joining the 12, for the United States, 12 women, 2024 Women's Olympic Volleyball roster.
Okay.
Man, I look at our roster team for our volleyball. That's going to look really
That's
good.
That's going to be cool.
Lauren O'Connor, Grace Joyce, Maddie Wanamaker, and Sophia Vitas will search for golds as members of the country's rowing squad.
Oh, see, rowing is interesting.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating thing. And I actually think it's interesting to watch. I know a lot of people would be like, you're just paddling. Well, yeah, mm-hmm. it's true. But it's the teamwork involved. That's the cool thing about it.
You've got women's rugby star Alex Kettler, who will also suit up for her final U.S. Olympian of 2024.
Rugby, huh?
So that's going to be interesting, too. You got a couple of Wisconsinites and a couple of former Badgers in there for that's fun.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Track and field has a couple of athletes as well. There's Wisconsinites scattered all over the Olympics.
That's really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot to look forward to, I think, when it comes to the games. And it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be exciting. We are going to get to our final timeout of the hour. We're going to go ahead and burn our last timeout. We're going to burn it. I'm all right with that. I'm okay.
That's right.
I think we'll be all right.
We're coming to the home stretch here.
When we come back, I got our stat of the show coming up, and I also want to get into some crazy things that have happened to the Stanley Cup.
Jeez.
And we certainly want to talk to you. 715-424-2600. Get in the game. Call up and join us right here at Playmakers. Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers. We are rounding third, heading for home. Going to take you right to the top of the hour. Seth and James here with you. Want to take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Otherwise, I'm going to get into a little bit of stories of what the Stanley Cup has been through in a moment. But first, our stat of the show.
Stat of the show.
We got to get some theme
music
for that.
We need a theme music for that.
Yeah, we really do.
Yeah, figure out what that's going to be.
Okay, most sports fans out there understand that on July 1st, it is Bobby Bonilla Day.
That's right.
The New York Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla. The New York Mets paid Bobby Bonilla another installment of $1.19 million. He has not played in the majors since 2001, but he will be paid through 2035 when he's 72.
Great retirement plan, Bobby. You are smart man. Smart man.
I think that it is also noteworthy as our stat here that Bobby also has a second deferred contract with the Baltimore Orioles for another $500,000 every year from 2004 until 2029.
Wow. He was obsessed with deferments. Why, Bobby? I want to know why. Maybe this was just his thing. He's like, hey, I know I can't play for very long. You know, a baseball player, pretty short career in the scheme of things. I'm going to make sure I got plenty in my retirement. What a smart guy.
Bobby Bonilla had 6 All-Stars, 3 Silver Sluggers, and won a World Series in 97 with the Marlins.
He did. Very good player.
Very, very good player.
Yep.
A strong career. I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer.
No.
And I don't know if he will make the Hall of Fame.
No, he won't.
But none of that is worth the money that the New York Mets or the Baltimore Orioles are paying him. I mean that with all respect to Mr. Bonilla.
Absolutely. You know what I love about it? The Mets have embraced it. Mets fans, at first, they were so upset. It's like, because he was supposed to be the big thing. You know, they signed him to a big deal and all this. It didn't work out. He left. And everyone was like, we're going to be paying this guy for the next how many years? Yeah. And now it's like a badge of honor. And in the scheme of things, it's not that much.
No.
Considering what the Mets payroll is.
Yeah.
So I love it. I think it's great.
I think it's just a fun one to bring up every year, especially
in
this time of year.
It's like a holiday.
It is. It's such a funny story. It just is. And it's one of those ones that never gets old to me.
No.
We've been hearing this for years, decade at least, and it never gets old. We got the Stanley Cup was recently handed off to the Florida Panthers, and congratulations to them on a great season and winning that thing. And also changing, I think, a cool thing about the Panthers that happened, they had won the President's Cup a couple of years ago, had the highest scoring team, I think, of all time in hockey, and lost in the first round. And where a lot of almost every organization in sports will run it back. You know, it's hockey, that happens, or something like that. They said, no, we need to play playoff hockey. We need to figure this out. And they completely revamped their offense, their team, and a couple of years later, win a cup. Mm-hmm. And I think that is unique and cool and doesn't happen often in sports. And I hope it encourages more GMs and more ownerships to take chances and to not just do the status quo.
Right.
Especially in hockey,
where
it matters. It really does.
Yep.
I want to talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup. First of all, for those that don't know, the first cup was being awarded in 1893, making it the oldest of all of our awards that we hand out, of our big awards we hand out.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's true. keep adding to it.
And that's pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, there is only one cup.
Yep.
Now, they do retire rungs of it.
Oh, they do? That I didn't know. Oh, I thought it was just going to keep getting bigger.
and I think that they did that for a while, and then eventually it's just been too much.
Yeah.
So I believe if I've got this right, I could, you know, you could go ahead and call me up and let me know if I've got this wrong. But I do believe that the first rung is at the hall or something like that.
Okay, makes sense.
Maybe they moved a couple of middle ones or something along those lines. those lines, but it has been through quite a bit over the years. Recently, it got a dip in the ocean with the Florida Panthers.
Okay,
I believe
nice.
Matthew Tkachuk took it into the water, like dove into the water and held the cup above the water. Because it is salt water. You can't necessarily get metal in salt water.
Yeah, I'm like, geez, I'm glad that didn't. That could have turned out horribly, but okay.
It's also fed a horse at the Kentucky Derby. After winning with the New York Rangers in 94, Eddie Olczyk took the Stanley Cup to the Kentucky Derby and let the winning horse eat oats out of it.
Is that the curse?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that the curse of the Rangers now? I bet you if someone's probably said that already, but you know,
that might
you
be.
Need a curse for the Rangers, so yeah.
You always do. It has been to war. Mike Bolt is the keeper of the Stanley Cup. His whole job is to be the Cup's secret service. In 07, Bolt took the Cup to war in Afghanistan to encourage the troops.
Wow.
While in the shower in the barracks, alarms went of signaling the base was under missile attack. Bolt thought it was a drill, so he didn't take cover. Luckily, the Cup was not hurt.
Oh, no.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I didn't know he had like the Stanley Cup as a full-time handler. Interesting.
It's played street hockey. Martin Brodeur, one of the greatest, if not the greatest goalie of all time, and that is according to my friend Ryan, he has two Stanley Cup wins to his name in 2003. After one of those wins, he took the cup back to his hometown and played a game of street hockey with some folks, and he let this winning team hoist the cup in victory.
That's cool.
Martin Brodeur is an awesome interview and an awesome athlete. That's just
fascinating guy. Yeah,
makes him even cooler. It traveled overseas. Peter Forsberg took it over to Sweden as a proud Swede.
Yeah.
It's gone clubbing quite a few times in quite a few nightclubs. It fed a dog. This one might make some hockey lovers a little angry, but Clark Giles put dog food in the Stanley Cup and let his fur baby eat out of it.
Oh boy!
Been on a roller coaster with Luke Robitaille. That was certainly an interesting one. It has been on the Howard Stern show. It's been on a jet ski. Sidney Crosby took out on a jet ski. It's had quite a bit, but I think maybe the best one, and I think the topper of all of these, including recently eating pasta out of it, like the famous goalie that Florida had for a while there. Luongo. Luongo.
Okay, yeah.
He was eating spaghetti out of it the other day. I think the best one by far is it being baptized, being used for a baptism. I think that you can't top this one.
Oh, man alive.
Newborn baby baptism in holy water, baby holding mother's hands, infant bathe in water, baptism in the front, sacrament, and just beautiful moment with the Stanley Cup.
It's all the same. It's just with the Stanley Cup, yeah.
Sylvain Levador baptized his daughter Jade in the Stanley Cup after he won in 96. I mean... I don't want to be insensitive here. If I'm all being blasphemous, please forgive me. I'm just an idiot. But I think that is cool. I think that's pretty awesome.
It doesn't matter what vessel you use to get the water from. It's the process. It doesn't matter. So
it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah, it is.
But with all that being said, I gotta believe that the greatest stories that cup's been through are the ones we don't know. There's got to be some better ones. There's got to be some stuff out there. It's fallen in a million parades.
It has. It's gotten dented and whacked. I'm just thinking, how many bedrooms has it been in?
Absolutely. I was trying to go a little PG-13.
I was trying to figure out a way to say it without really saying it. All the things it has seen, I'm going to say.
Being the son of a hockey player, I don't think I could actually touch the cup. For those that don't know, if you don't win the cup, you never touch it. Like, P.K. Subban was talking about this. He never won the cup, got to a Stanley Cup, never won it. He won't touch it.
Yeah.
You just don't, that's the honor of the cup and everything.
Right.
And being the son of one, I've gone and seen the cup when the Blackhawks won the second one. I went to a car dealership or something. No, it was a auto place that had it. And I went there, and I was with, like, as close to you as I am, and I didn't touch it. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
My dad's voice was in my, don't you touch that thing. Don't you touch it, Jimmy. Like it was E.T. or something. Like, don't touch it, Jimmy. But I will tell you this. If I had ever won a Stanley Cup, it definitely would have had some experience in the bedroom. Not with me, but it watched. Thank you for a great week, everybody.
Oh, boy.
We've had a lot of fun today.
Yeah, it was.
If you'd like some rafter tickets, call up right now, 715-424-2600. Get yourself some rafter tickets.
They're playing today and tomorrow.
Yeah, I got five of them here. You don't even have to pay for the game. You can go for free. Call up right now, 715-424-2600. I'll take the first caller. Seth, thank you so much for hanging out with us this week on the show. It's been a lot of fun.
It's fun, man. You have no idea.
Spread the word about this show. Let others know about it. This is your sports talk show, everybody.
Especially the new time. Make sure they know.
5 to 6, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We'll be here with you, and we'll be here next week having some more fun. Enjoy your week, everybody, and thanks so much for hanging out with us right here at...